The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Hey, everyone. I don't know that I'll be here next week. It's Thanksgiving week. I probably will take the week off, like Mr. Glasscott, as I talked to him yesterday on his show in the afternoon. But yeah, welcome to Your Money with David Hayes. Dr. Doug Hughes is in the house. Hey, Dougie.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. You're getting ready to head to see your mother after the show today.
Yep, so have a quick lunch and head on down.
There you go. We're recording early here on a Thursday afternoon. You know, if you look back at last week, and we always do, right? We think, what happened? Well, we had a cooling inflation number that ignited a powerful rally on Thursday, sending stocks to these massive gains for the week, some gains we haven't seen since like 2020. The lower-than-expected inflation report triggered the biggest one-day stock market gain in 2 years, as it raised investors' hopes that the Fed might consider easing the pace of future rate hikes. In fact, the NASDAQ, I think, added like 7.5%, nearly percent. The stocks initially rallied to the start of the week, but gave up some of the gains on Wednesday following kind of a muddy, indecisive outcome to the midterms. Now we've had that sort of cleared up. But then Friday, stocks saw kind of a massive gain to close out the week. Now, are we really seeing moderate inflation? Well, even in today's Wall Street Journal, they talked about how spending is still strong, the labor market's still tight, but I'm actually seeing all of this across the board of layoffs, right? Even in the weekend's journal, they talk about Disney laying people off. We have Amazon announcing layoffs. We have Twitter that cut half their workforce. Now, that could be for different reasons than too much fat with our good old buddy Elon at the helm.
He has different visions.
Different vision, right? So we see this thing slowing down. The yield curve is telling us it's slowing down. When you see the 3 month, 6 month, 1 year, 2 year treasuries above 4%, but the 10 years now down under 4, it's like 3.65%. That is telling us things are going to slow down. And it's going to slow down quickly because that is the bond yield curve. If it's 1 to 2 years, it's like, hey, this thing's going to be slow down fast and furious. And then the long term bond market's telling us calm seas ahead. And the fact that the 10-year is under 4 and at 3.65, that means mortgage rates will probably come down, which is great, right, for everyone out there wanting to buy a house or get a mortgage. So I keep encouraging people, look at the 5-1 ARMs. If you're buying a house, you're going to be in the 5s. Don't go out there and lock in a 30-year fix at 7. That makes no sense whatsoever. So get your bankers to think differently. Ask questions like, are there other options? Because I'll tell you, we're so programmed in this area, that whether it's realtors or whether it is bankers, to just, you know, do what they've always done because it always worked. Well, today's different. And I've been here before. I've seen this kind of a market before, doing this nearly 30 years. I mean, literally thousands of meetings, thousands of situations have come up, and I've banked those into my little pea brain so I can pull them out when necessary, and that's where we sit today. So, Doug.
Yes, sir.
This week, we've had retail sale numbers come out, industrial production. Thursday, housing starts, jobless claims, which is a weekly thing. Friday, we have existing home sales, which is, and then an index of leading economic indicators. But this is something that people just need to buckle in for and understand it is what it is, and don't do something stupid.
It's interesting. We act like recessions have only happened for the first time when they're currently happening. I mean, recessions are normal. They are a part of the process of having an economy such as we do. Market volatility is normal. We've seen this play out time and time again. Doesn't mean it's any less painful. Doesn't mean that there shouldn't be thought processes to guard yourself for that. But you know, David, the cornerstone of economics, the very beginning of the study of economics, is that things change. Reserves change, interest rates change, job numbers change, businesses change, appetite for risk. All change happens all the time, and that's the very beginning of the study of economics is how things change and how you adapt to them. And so when we read the numbers that we're reading right now, these are quarterly earnings, right? And we're middle of a difficult time economically, but these things are normal. They shouldn't take you by too much of a surprise. They just happen. They're just not fun when they're happening right now and where you're at in life,
yeah, which is why we're talking about today. This past week and went to the Colts-Raiders game out in Las Vegas. Fun time. Here we are in the off season in Las Vegas, still pretty packed. The stadium was packed. People are still out doing things. Yes. Now, what I think will happen during the Christmas season, we're already seeing this with some of the big retailers, especially in the area of apparel. They have so much inventory, and no one's buying it, that they're already doing deep discounts that you normally don't see until maybe even after Christmas. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll see a Christmas season that's solid but not overly zealous and exciting. Moving into 2023, I think we're going to have a little different outlook on what's really truly happening. Start to see prices come down, start to see a lot more layoffs, start to get what the Fed wants, And they said it's going to be kind of nasty and ugly, but like I said, the bond market's telling us and experience tells me there are smoother times ahead. All right, let's take a quick break. Now, Doug and I have been collectively doing this for people over 50 years, maybe closer to 60 years, and helping people prepare for and then have a successful retirement. So the question is, what do you need to do when you're on the home stretch, when you're on the final drive?
Mm-hmm.
A reference to the book, of course. But what is the home stretch? Is it 5 years out? Is it 10 years out? I mean, if your mindset is correct, yes, I think it's 10 years out. I think the home stretch should be 10 years out because there's 7 things that we think you need to do in the decade before you retire. And we're going to go through those today on today's show. And why the number 7, we'll come back and talk about that as well. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. I was talking about coming up with a catchy phrase and 7 things. Right, Doug?
7
things. Because why not 8? Why not 10? Why not 6? Because 7 is a number that has been ingrained in our mind and in our psyche to be an important number. And I was thinking about this and thinking about different things that use the number 7. 7 habits of highly effective people.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of them. The 7 deadly sins.
Yes.
7, 7, 7's a jackpot on the slot machine,
there
right?
There you go.
But I went back and was looking at all the different reasons 7 was used. 7 digits in your phone number. It's easy to remember.
Yep.
Like we can remember 7 numbers, but we have a hard time remembering 8 numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So all of this is kind of like going in my head, like, okay, all the biblical references of 7.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know how many there are, but there's like
many. Yeah.
So 7's been in our head, 7 times 70. I mean, all this stuff, it's in, right? So
exactly.
I'm thinking, what can we do today to make people want to listen? Let's talk about the 7 things.
7 things
you need to
do in the decade.
In the decade.
Yes. 7 and 10.
Yeah, 7 and
7
10.
And
Why
10.
Not? Why not? But Doug, let's start off with this. Determining when the time is right. My dad and I do kind of an annual show, and I can't believe that we're going to, I can't believe it was a year ago that we did this show, kind of walking through his life, his career, from being a young father all the way through where you see him today in the banking world. He's 75 years old, still very active, working, and we were talking about, like, retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have seen this before. People just know when it's time. You don't know when it's time until you know when it's time.
That's
talk to our friend Chuck Crabb about that. Talk to the executives that we know from all these different companies around who have these super important positions. Everyone looks up to them. They're influential. They make good money. And all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, I'm done. I'm retiring. They know when it's time. So determining when the time is right sounds easier than it really is.
Exactly. And David, it's a moving target for different people for different reasons. And we should spend some time on this because as you and I have taught our programs throughout the years of retirement planning today, one of the very first things we talk about is the annual survey, when they talk to people who are working, when do they plan to retire? And then they've talked to people who are retired, when did you retire? And the truth is that many people miss the mark when they pinpoint when they plan or when they're going to retire. So it is just a moving number. And so one of the things I would say at the outset in that last decade is you may not have the decade right, but there are things you need to do within 10 years of when you plan to retire. Because in America,
right,
even through last year, 45% of people still retire earlier than they plan to. A lot of it has to do with health reasons. Sometimes it is their age, and employers are trying to find younger workers for less money, so
right,
to speak, ageism, if we can call it that. But the truth is 46% of people in America retire between the age of 61 and 65.
What's interesting, when Morningstar did a study for people 10 to 15 years from retirement to estimate when they were to retire, those that thought they were to retire at 55 actually retire closer to 58. Those that were targeting 65 end up closer to 63. It's crazy that 45% of people actually retire earlier than planned. And some, like you said, due to health reasons. But then you also have economic reasons. For instance, and work-related. And so let's think about 2020 and 2021, the mass exodus from the workforce.
The great resignation.
The great resignation.
Yeah.
My work environment stinks. The stock market's incredibly high. I'm just out.
Yep.
I have a pension, a lump sum that's going down by 30% because the interest rates have jumped up. I'm out. Health insurance, I can get COBRA for 18 months, so I'm going to work to 63 and a half, so I can get to 65 for Medicare. A lot of things like that change. All right, let's talk about another thing about retirement. Sort of taking aim at your retirement target. Now, the rule of thumb, right, has always been to save enough to generate 70 to 90% of your pre-retirement income. Now, here's what I'm going to say about that. There's two ways to look at it. When you look at gross income, you're probably right, around 70%, because for most people, and they're always like, how did you know this? Well, when you've done this literally thousands of times, you just kind of know things. I actually have a sign in our little podcast room that says, because I know things.
That's right.
It sounds a little arrogant.
We've seen this before.
I've seen this before, because I know things. And they're like, what do you know? Things. I know things. Well, here's the thing. Whenever someone says, okay, I make $10,000 a month, typically it's about 68% of that's what you bring home. By the time you pay your taxes, by the time you pay your FICA, by the time you put money into your 401ks, it's about 68%. And usually I'm within a rock's throw of being correct. So when you say 70 to 90% of your gross income, that's probably pretty darn close if you're trying to replace 100% of your net take home. But then you also have to think about, and this is where you're so good, Doug, costs that might go down when you retire and costs that might go up.
Exactly. And David, if we've heard this once, we've heard this those thousands of times. We're going to downsize. Well, downsize doesn't mean down cost. And so sometimes people make a home adjustment and they spend more money than they did before or the same money.
We've got a client right now, Duggar, that had $1.2 million home. They were in California, sold it, moving closer to their kids, bought a house in Tennessee for $680,000. So on the surface, right, it sounds like they downsized. We just got a notification from their kids that said, hey, mom and dad are doing a remodel. So the remodel is going to be $160,000. And I mean, I started doing the math with Angela. Like, they downsized in size. They lost 2,000 square feet, but they did not downsize much in cost.
Exactly. And sometimes people, and that's one of the reasons I'm heading down to see my mother, to kind of go through her finances. Another thing is that people will go from a house into a condo, and the next thing you know, the homeowners association fee can go up.
Yeah, sure.
And so then you think, well, I'm not paying money for, you know, someone to mow my yard or do something like that. But the truth is that can go up. And so we just think these costs only go down, but not necessarily.
No. You know, it's funny. Everyone's using inflation for an excuse to raise prices.
Absolutely.
Memberships to my Ed Slot group went up because of inflation.
Really?
Wow. Oh, yeah. But as a charter member, my membership's still the same thing.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm at a charity. Well, I'm on many, many boards, but they're talking about asking for more money to do certain things because of inflation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of that probably is true, but just like anything else, when we went through the Great Recession 2008, everyone looked for, they used that as the reason, excuses to be able to cut this and cut that and
That's
cut
right.
that. Now, with inflation, add this, add that. Anyway.
And it's happening in everywhere. And what people tend to forget is that these costs that go up don't typically go down. Homeowners associations don't.
I've never seen one go down.
Don't come back and say, oh, we're going to lower it for you.
No.
So some of these costs get locked in, and they're locked in for life. And so that's a really difficult conversation. That's why when we talk about 70 to 90%, and listen, we've talked on the radio show a lot. There's ways to do this, and we'll get into some of that, like buckets or systematic withdrawals. But at the end of the day, you really need to take an aim at what your income target is and then plan for it to maybe be a little bit different than that.
Well, and so going back to the pick the age, you know, if you're 55, let's pick 65, right, for giggles. That's the retirement age. It doesn't have to be 65. And then let's pick what our net goal is as far as income each month. Net, not gross, but net, because mm-hmm. I can't take my gross to the grocery store.
That's
I've
right.
got to take my net to the grocery store. And then let's work backwards. You know, like, it's just a numbers game at that point. What do I need to do? What kind of return do I need to have that helps drive my mm-hmm. allocation? It's a very purposeful type yep. of plan. And 10 years out's good. But things that might go up, healthcare, travel, utilities, home maintenance, all that kind of stuff might go up in retirement. Mm-hmm. And then also understand your spending patterns. I've gone through this so many times on the show. Newly retired people are excited to go out and do things. They spend money like a drunken sailor sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then it's like they get to the point, nah, I don't really feel like doing that. I've already done that. And then they really get to the point they're completely content with doing everyday things,
sure.
right? So they go through that go-go, slow-go, no-go phase yeah. of retirement, which is also tracks their spending.
One of the more profound little lingos that we heard over the years was go-go, slow-go, no-go. And we have seen that play out so many times.
I have so much stuff here, folks. We have an entire piece on the home stretch, 7 things you need to do the decade before you retire. We are happy to share this with you. If you are listening, you're like, yeah, I'd love to read this because there's so much more than what we're
yes.
going to be able to go through here on the show. Really some cool detailed stuff from, you know, maximizing your retirement accounts to how much do you need to provide this much income in retirement. So if you'd like a copy of it, we will send it to you via email, completely complimentary. Just go to cfci.us. Yes, that's the old cfci.us. Contact us and say, I want that 7 ways thing, and we will get it to you. All right, Duggar, let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk about people's portfolios briefly. We're going to talk about creating a Social Security strategy and a bunch more. We'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. You know, a lot of times people are like, okay, what do I need to do with my investments? I'm 10 years out. Well, I think people sometimes get way too conservative way too early.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do I mean by that is sticking your money in a safe spot because you think it's safe. But remember, when you stick your money into something that's not paying much, because even now, if you think about treasury rates being paid, you know, over 4%, if inflation's 7.7%, you're actually going backwards 3%, right? So you need to be in things that participate in inflationary times, things you have to own things. You either own or you loan. So 10 years out, I would probably be much more of an owner than a loaner. And I would start about 5 years out, starting to build that first 10 years of income in retirement. And that's the bucket strategy that mm-hmm. Doug's talking about. We wrote about it in our book as well. So right now, if I'm 50 years old, I probably don't have much in what we would call loaning areas. I'm not buying a lot of bonds. Even though bonds are tempting right now, I'm probably not doing a lot of that. I'm owning things. And Duggar, I think as people get closer to retirement, they're always questioning, how should I be invested? How should I be invested? I would say about 5 years out is when you really start to morph your portfolio into a strategy that will provide that first 10 years of income. So think about this. I'm 5 years from retirement. I create the first 10 years of income. So I've now created 15 years of time horizon where my other money can grow. Give me 15 years in the stock market. I'll take that bet every day.
Absolutely.
Give me 1 year. I'll not take it any time, right? Give me
absolutely.
5 years. I'll take it most of the time. 10 years almost every time, but 15,
no
I'm
questions.
In.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's been so many ways down through the years, David, to try to find this magic formula. But the truth is, whenever you go through, as we talked about earlier, these normal times, then you see that asset allocation works. But what happens to those abnormal years, like 2022, when you're really dealing with significant loss, both not only on your equities, but also on your fixed income? That is where in retirement, you do need to have this strategy together that says, I want my first 10 years to be put together in a way that I just don't have to worry about it.
Right.
And that may look very boring. To be honest with you, that's not an exciting thing to say, is, man, I own a 10-year bucket of low-risk instruments that is going to walk me through this. It's much more exciting to say I own XYZ stock. But the truth is, for success in retirement, you need to be able to have that low-risk strategy that allows that long-term money to do what it's supposed to do, which is to grow.
And understand how much money you can put away. Remember, we've gone through this a lot. People in their late 20s, early 30s, that's typically when they have their first or second kid in America. They buy their first home. They buy their second home. The kids go to college or not, whatever. But they're at their peak spending years. They move into their 50s. The kids kind of move off the payroll. You're making a lot of money. You're focusing now on myself, right? This happens literally weekly. We see people walking in this situation. I kind of really chuckled and actually said it out loud that I'm 52 years old. I've been in practice helping people prepare for and have a successful retirement for literally 29 years. And I will tell you, 29 years ago, I was not talking to people who were my age. If I did, they were my parents' friends. I had someone remind me, Doug, of one of the early client appreciation events that we did, a big dinner many years ago, and I'm in front of the group. And John, his name is John, he brought this up, and he's nearly 90. He's been a client for 25 years.
Wow.
And he said, David, do you remember that dinner that you had years ago, and you stood up and you talked about how your business has grown over the years and thanking everyone for being part of it and helping this happen? And you wanted to thank, you know, your very first clients, thank you, Mom and Dad. That's kind of the way this thing started, yeah. But the reality is now I see people every day walking in that are my age, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm like, back then, it's like, I'm like their kid's age, and anyway, trying to help friends and all that. And it's rewarding because I have buddies that will say, had you not told me 25 years ago to start doing this, I wouldn't have this today.
That's right, yeah.
That's incredibly rewarding.
Absolutely.
Now, I mean, I needed them to do that to help me have a living. So it was a win-win situation in the long run.
Everyone won.
Everyone wins. Everyone wins, and that's the goal. All right, one of the biggest, and I call it the granddaddy of it all. If you get a chance to listen to my podcast on the granddaddy of them all in retirement income, please listen to it because it is very compelling. Again, it's 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win. It should be in the same podcast stream that the radio show is in, so it should be easy to find. Don't know what episode that is. I'm going to record episode number 36 today at the end of the day, so I'm excited about that. I'm on a five-step series right now, like five easy steps to Roth conversions, five easy steps to whether you should convert or not convert. Mm-hmm. So I've got that going on right now. I think I'm going to play that out for another few episodes, so look for that soon. But the granddaddy of them all is Social Security. And there is and people are like, listen, I am behind the scenes on this. I know that this particular Congress that just came in, they are serious about having Social Security reform. What are things that are on the table? Number one, maybe remove taxation of Social Security. I don't see that happening because we need their money too bad. If you think about it, who's paying for Social Security? It's the working people, right? People in retirement don't pay Social Security taxes. So it's kind of a clawback, so to speak, of some of their benefits by taxing Social Security. But payroll people, they're going to increase the limit to where you pay Social Security to $200,000, $250,000 from the whatever it is, $140,000-ish it is now. That's what's going to fix Social Security. They're going to increase ages. Remember, when they first increased ages for people retiring and having Social Security was 1983, right, or 85, somewhere around that. 83, I think it was 83. And they said, okay, people that were born after 61 or whatever, their full retirement age is going to be 67 years old. That's fine. Do you know how old I was in 1983? I was like 13. 14. Do you think I was paying attention to my Social Security age? No.
Not at all.
But having a 10-year plan, right, to say, this is my plan and how I'm going to take Social Security. This is my claiming strategy with my spouse as it lays out today. Because right now they still have, you know, the 8% delay credits. That may or may not stick. I don't know. It's part of Social Security reform. Is 62 still going to be an option? Are they going to lower it to 60? Are they going to have Medicare available at an earlier age? There's so much that could change over the next 10 years. But having a strategy in your mind allows you to plan appropriately. And I'm just telling folks right now, don't worry about Social Security going broke. If you go back and look at why they were so serious and came together, I have a great picture of Ronald Reagan, Bob Dole, Chip O'Neill.
Tip
O'Neill.
Yep.
Sorry, I was just working with someone named Chip O'Neill.
That's no problem.
Freudian, yeah, whatever. Yeah,
no problem.
Prime Radio. So you look back and you think, okay, what was happening back then? Social Security was in a major crisis. Mm-hmm. And that's why they quickly came and made changes. We're not quite to the point of like next year it's going to happen, but we keep squeezing down that gap. This trust fund's going to be gone in like next 7 to 8, 10 years. Mm-hmm. Something's going to happen in this next 2 years. I'm telling you right now, it's going to happen to reform Social Security and make sure it's there for you.
You know, David, I think that there is an appetite among the electorate out in this country to actually hold politicians' feet to the fire on this for the first time. We talk about it and it gets batted back and forth, but I think that there is going to be a strong voice from the electorate who's going to really look at the future of this and what this looks like. And so I think you're right. I think we're going to see some reform. I think we're going to see some big ideas about it. And I think we're going to hear a lot of things. You know, the old saying, throw it against the wall, see if it sticks. I think there's going to be a lot of big ideas. And if I'm 10 years out from Social Security, one of the things I'd be doing is I'd be coming in and talking to an advisor about what is on the table, what is really on the table with Social Security. And let's do a plan because, you know, we have the different claiming strategies and we go through this with people all the time, like how you should do this and what you should do and what's the best time to take it. And it's always the, you know, when are you going to die? Nobody knows. Once this decision is made, it does not come backwards. You don't recover from this decision and change your mind. You when you're in it, you're in it. And so it's a very serious topic. You're exactly right. Reforms, changes are coming. People need to pay attention. And if this change comes in the middle of your decade, it's one of these seven things you've got to have a handle on.
The last thing I'll say about that. So we had all these elaborate claiming strategies, right?
Yeah.
File and suspend, file and restrict, all the stuff that we were just killing Social Security. Yeah. They came out and passed legislation in October that went into effect a year later, and people are like, whoa, wait a second here. We had this whole plan worked out. Well, you got to be ready to pivot.
We were doing Social Security educational programs at the Monroe County Library. I'll never forget it. We were doing them, and there was like on a Thursday, and like by the next Tuesday, it was over.
Yeah, it was changed.
It was just, and that's how the government does it. It's just like the ERISA laws for the 401k, just in the middle of the night, they sign the legislation, next thing you know, everything changes. And so you don't always have years to plan for this change. Sometimes it happens really quick.
I should have stuck with mowing yards and your blacktop ceiling driveways. That would have been a better bet. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, how do you build a retirement income stream? That's something that you have. If you think 10 years out from this, you'll kill it when it comes to building a retirement income stream. If you wait to the last minute, you can still do it, but it takes a lot. If you have more time on your side to do this and plan for it, I'm telling you right now, you can absolutely kill it. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. You know, when you think about trying to prepare for retirement, it's kind of a rhetorical question, but if you're sitting across the table from a husband and a wife, let's use the typical situation, and we say we would like to have $6,000 a month in retirement income. Okay, fine. Well, let's first take inflation in consideration. Let's now take taxes into consideration. So what's that monthly gross that we have to provide to give you this $5,000 or $6,000 a month net? Now we have Social Security comes into play, possibly a pension. Very few have that. So what's going to have to come from my money? And what's the best way to structure that? Well, if I ask you this question, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, which I never ask it that way, be like, hey, Marty, hey, Joanne, how much of this income would you like from a guaranteed or contractual source? Well, you just kind of shut up and listen, because they want to say all of it. That's what's in my bones, right? I want it all guaranteed. I want it all contractual. I don't want to have to worry about the market to provide that. Well, if you check Social Security off the list, maybe that's providing $3,000 or $4,000 of it, probably more like $4,000 or $5,000. And then you say, okay, I need another $2,000 or $3,000 I want from a contractual or guaranteed source. That's where this whole annuity thing of self-providing your own pension plan comes from. And if you have 10 years to wait, if you allocate, you could allocate a small amount of money, let it grow for 10 years, and usually it's some kind of a contractual growth rate. Then you turn on a guaranteed lifetime income without giving up control of your money. It could be a joint income as well, just like your pension plans. You can select me only, me and my wife only, all that, or me and my wife together. And then just check the box. And then guess what? Then it allows you to be more free with the other money, less worry with the other money. There's no one in our entire client base that would come in today and say, man, Dave, I really hate that guaranteed lifetime income we put myself in 10 years ago.
Yeah.
They're not saying that.
No.
And Doug, I think it's important to understand the value of having some time to let that cake bake.
Absolutely.
Right, before you flip on the income plan.
It's interesting, David. I'm looking at a spreadsheet here from 2019, June of 2019, and the 2 year, the 10 year Treasury then was paying you 2%. Today, it's paying 3.77%. 1 year CDs, you can pick them up at 3% and 4%.
I think the 10 year closed like 3.6 or something crazy like that.
That's right.
Yeah,
and
you're
so
right.
The point is that interest rates are going to move around. And you need to have a portfolio that allows for some of these locking in of lifetime income gains, because some things don't, when they're set, they're set. Sometimes pensions don't have cost of living adjustments, and that could be a real detriment over long periods of time. The other thing to think about, too, when you're building this, and I like the way you phrase that, building an income stream, not investing, not guessing what you're going to have in 10 years, not hoping that the S&P does what you think it's going to do, but building an income stream. It has a different sound and a different perspective that is able to give someone a confidence to say that no matter what happens out here, I have built an income stream for my retirement versus just hoping that I've kept up with an index.
So going back to your bond reference. So yeah, right now you can buy short-term bonds paying 2 or 3, 4 or 5, 6%, whatever, they're high. But if you look out on the curve, 10 years, 30 years, you're still looking at, you know, in the subpar 4 range, maybe 5. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to lock in a 5%, let's say, interest rate, you might have to go out and buy a 30-year bond.
Yeah.
Well, that 5% is going to be 5% on that money for 30 years. And there's a lot of valuation fluctuation that occurs with that instrument. And oh, by the way, in 30 years, that 5% is going to buy what 2% buys today.
Exactly.
So not only do you have to consider locking yourself into something that's contractual or guaranteed, in my opinion, I love this concept. That's why I love rental real estate, because my rents go up over time. And that's, and me personally, when I think about retirement, I don't really think about it, quite honestly, but if I were to think about retirement, I would think about, okay, where's my retirement income going to come from? Is it going to be the sale of my practice? Is it going to be this a pension that I've created for myself? Is it some deferred compensation? Is it this rental real estate? Well, the cool thing about real estate for me, and this is true with anything you own, is that it should go up with inflation, and also the rent should go up with inflation. But if I go out and buy a fixed instrument for 30 years at 5%, I'm stuck with it.
Exactly right.
So
yeah.
You have got to think this through to build a retirement income stream that lasts, that doesn't force you to sell into bad markets, that doesn't force you to lock yourself into something that won't grow with inflation. It sounds easy on the surface, very complicated below. It's kind of like the duck going across the water.
Right.
It looks pretty cool, but if you look underneath, man, his feet are going a million miles an hour
trying to keep
going.
And so one of the things that we would recommend that folks do is not just think about investing money, but thinking about building an income stream. This is the decade before you retire. 7 things that you should do. And there's a lot of other things in here that, like you said, we can't necessarily cover. But think about a mindset change that is, I'm not just trying to invest money. I'm now building an income stream for later. We always say to people in our class, write down your 3 sources of protected income in retirement. And people begin looking at each other because they can't figure it out.
Right. So if you'd like a copy of the Home Stretch, the 7 things you need to do before you retire, the decade before you retire, please email us at cfci.us and we will get it to you. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about thinking beyond the money. Look beyond your money in having a great retirement. Do you get to travel when you want to travel? Do you get to relax when you want to relax? Do you get to serve when you want to serve? If the answer is yes, and you're having a great retirement. We want to look beyond your money and getting on the same page, especially if you're married. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. someone, I was at a conference. Well, it wasn't a conference. I think a conference. So I was at the Colts thing this weekend in Las Vegas, and it was fun because it was sort of a Colt, you know, ticket owner event, whatever you want to call it. And we were invited, so we went. It was fun. And I'm sitting around, you know, we had some hors d'oeuvres and talking to some people. And this lady, she works in HR for the Colts.
Oh.
Come to find out, her husband, I know his brother.
Okay.
Lives here in Bloomington. Nice. You know, so it's kind of like we had this great connection. So she's like, I want to retire so bad. I'm like, well, why do you want to retire? And she's, because she found out what I did and all that. And I said, she said, because I want to be able to, you know, come down and enjoy the boat and the lake and all this. I'm like, well, from what you just told me, you already get to do that. She goes, yeah, but, you know. And I said, so what else do you want to do? She goes, well, we want to travel more. I said, well, what, you just told me you've been here, here, and here this year. And she goes, yeah, but, you know, I want to be able to, you know, to do more with some of these charities that I'm involved with. I said, well, I heard you just tell me that you did this and this with, you know, these organizations. And she goes, yeah, you're right. She goes, but, you know, if I didn't have to work, I could do more of that. All right, fine. But I told her my analogy of travel when you want to travel, relax when you want to relax, serve when you want to serve, and you're doing it now. And you've got a job, and you're still making money, and everything's great. And so she said to me, you're right. I said, listen, I'm not just a financial guy, like not a numbers guy. I said, I really feel like I'm more of a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We coach people through this process.
Through. Yeah. Yeah.
And one of the things we help coach people through, I love doing this, is help people coach their mindset on getting ready to get ready to retire. So we talk about this in your class at Ivy Tech, Retirement Planning Today. But when you retire, what would that look like, right? What are you looking forward to? What do you want it to accomplish? Where are you going to live? The downsizing or a retirement community? What's your day-to-day life going to look like? What does an ideal day in retirement look like to you? What interests or hobbies do each of us want to pursue individually? I've had folks want to learn French or to do this, and I keep them accountable. Hey, how's the French thing going?
Yeah.
Right?
I always tell, sais quoi.
I always say to people, listen, can imagine. For me personally, and if I internalize my goals, they'll never happen. If I verbalize my goals, I feel accountable. So whether you're going to quit smoking, quit drinking, you're going to write a book, which I, again, here on this show, I kept telling people I'm writing this book.
Right.
And I did that because I needed to get the book. I wanted to do the book, but had I not said that, probably never would have had the final drive done. I mean, I probably would have just crawled in my shell and thought, it kind of sounded like something fun to do, but didn't do it.
But the more you verbalize,
the more accountability you have. So start talking through these things. What do you want to do together, Misty? What kind of trips do you want to take together or separate? I mean, she's going on a girls' trip this weekend down to Louisville. Great.
Yeah.
Right? Fine. I love that. I went on a boys' trip fishing. You know, so it's okay to spend time apart.
Sure.
Sometimes it makes your more time together more special. Mm-hmm. How much time do you want to spend with your family? How much dedication do you want to your grandchildren? My dad told us early on, my dad loves his grandchildren, just like all of you listening who have grandchildren, love your grandchildren. I mean, more than your children. Mm-hmm. You love your grandchildren. More than your dogs, yes. You love your grandchildren. But you don't necessarily want to be, you don't want to raise them. You don't want to be responsible for them. My dad early on, when we first had kids, said, listen, we are here for you if you want us to watch them here or there. But we don't want to be last minute. We don't want to be your go-to. We don't want to watch them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my mom, I mean, she went from retirement to, you know, watching grandkids immediately. So, you know, but that's okay if that's what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
But make that something that you decide beforehand and verbalize it. What kind of changes do you want to make? Do you want to stay healthy and active? What are your concerns or fears about retirement? Like, what worries you? Number one thing I tell people, keep your mind active, right? Keep your mind active, because we have seen people retire and deteriorate mentally many times before.
Yeah, and you know, retirement, what we talk about when we teach the class from time to time is that retirement used to be viewed as just an extended vacation.
Yeah.
But now, all of a sudden, you have a lot of responsibilities with everything we've talked about. You've got to plan it out. You've got to, you know, do the footwork and the legwork to get everything put together. But after that, you've got to have a purpose. I remember Jerry Sedler had the great book, and she's been on the show.
Yeah, she's emailed me like last week.
They moved to Florida. Yeah, we need to get her back on. But she had that great book, Don't Retire, Rewire. And you take a step back and you think to yourself, how am I going to rewire? Well, what a great opportunity, right? To really do something fun and enjoyable and maybe learn something or discover something about yourself you didn't know before.
I'll leave you with this. Retirement, you may have heard this before, retirement is wonderful if you have two essentials, much to live on and much to live for.
There you go.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back to wrap this show up. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. All right, just a final thing to say here, that we are wrapping up the show this week. Thanksgiving is next week, so no show. And I just want to say thank you to our producer, Rob, who's been our producer here on the show for a long time. He and his son are going to be moving, and he's taking a new opportunity. And something about radio and TV and everything that's always kind of fascinated me is people just leave, and it's like they never existed. And they're gone. It's like, well, why are we not talking about Rob anymore?
Yeah, because Rob has been off scene, is the old.
They just
saying.
Go, yeah, they go off yeah. Scene. I mean, it's weird, but I'm telling you, I'm not a radio guy. I'm just a guy that wants to say thank you, Rob,
yes.
for being here for me all these years, listening to all my bull crap, right, laughing at my senseless jokes, and you know, and making me sound better than I am. So I want to say thank you for that, and good luck to you and your son. And we'll stay connected. I mean, there's no doubt about that. You're going to stay in the business and the industry, but moving on, moving up, and moving to warmer climates. So thank you very much, Rob, for all that you've done for not just me, but for the entire radio station, the community. I mean, you were on last week during election night, did a great job with Jimmy and who else was on that night? I forget, but it was
Diane.
Yeah, Diane's doing a great job as well. But, yeah, we're going to miss you.
Yes.
And, you know, doing my commentary each week. Doing the radio show each week, you know, I don't know, making sure it gets uploaded to this magical world that we live in. I have no idea how it ends up online. I have no idea how it ends up on iTunes or Google Play. So, I don't know.
The other thing that's great is when I come in to host when you're gone, because, you know, you've got this outline and you've got the rhythm and everything. So when I come in, he has the timing just right. So don't forget the tempo. Rob has really great tempo to keep you online to get the show out right.
That's right. That's right. So too bad that you haven't heard more from Rob on air, because he's very talented in that arena as well. But again, thank you, Rob, for everything.
Yes.
That wraps up today's show. We will be back in 2 weeks. Have a great Thanksgiving, everyone. Spend time with your family. Love on them like no one else. And we're going to be doing the same. Doug, be careful heading to South Carolina to see your mom. And that's about it, everyone. So have a great one.
We'll talk
to you later. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.